Anyways, this morning we want to look at some of our priorities and our choices we make. You know, if you make a right choice, it has rewards. But sometimes you let your flesh dictate what you want, and you can make a wrong choice. Did you get what I just said? Sometimes you let your flesh dictate what you want rather than what God wants. And you can make a wrong choice and then go back years later, keep trying to justify that wrong choice. Or most of the time when people make a wrong choice, they don't step up to the plate and say, I'm responsible. Right? They don't want to step up to the plate and I'm responsible, so they blame someone else and make up an excuse. I grew up in a military home. My dad said, we don't have any excuses. An excuse is an admission of your own guilt. Hello? And so a lot of times when it comes to our priorities and our choices, we want to make up an excuse because we made some wrong choices. Everything in life comes down to priorities and choices. Number one choice this morning is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I look back at all the things I've gone through over the lifetime that I've lived, and I thought, what's the number one and what's the greatest decision you ever made? It was that day, March 23rd, 1970, when I got down by the side of my bed and asked Jesus Christ to take over my life. And then, not just say it, but I went out and visually did it. Someone said, take a stick and say that stick is your life and throw that stick in the fire. Now, once you throw a stick in the fire, you're not pulling it right back out quick without getting hurt. And so I threw that stick in the fire and said, this is my life. Lord, let it melt and burn for you. Let it cast some greater light on someone else, so they can learn more about Jesus Christ. That's the most important choice. And then some of those other choices, you know, who you marry. Don't let your flesh dictate who you marry. Because sometimes I ask this guy, well, I ask my own kids. I ask my daughter, I said, what's this guy like you're going to marry? Oh, he's so cute. Yeah. Well, cutie has nothing to do with character. I'd like to have a guy who's got a big old nose and it's twisted a little bit the wrong way and a scar on his face, but he's sold out to God. Man. Than to somebody who's, well, as you know, and I know, one of the most popular guy on campus, Mr. Handsome, had monogram shirts with his initials on it, drove a Corvette, and married the campus beauty queen. In 3 years, he was in prison. You know who he is, and you know who he is. Hey, what happened? Wrong choice. I'd rather be around someone who's humble, and humility draws people towards you like a magnet. But pride makes people push away from you. And a lot of these popular, proud people can't handle it later on in life. Because pride always goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's Bible. And so who you marry, that's a big choice. And I, when it came to that choice, I surrendered my choice to God and said, God, who do you want? Maybe that's why I waited so long, because I couldn't make up my mind. And finally I realized, hey, God has a choice. And I started looking at all those choices that I made and surrendered my choice, and God put something in someone in my life. And now I'm proud to say, after 33 years, it doesn't get a whole lot better except the grandkids. That's even better than who you marry. Because if you marry right, you got better grandkids too. Wow, amen, right? Oh, my. You know, don't you feel sorry for people out there who sit there and look at their own kids and are in shame of what their kids are like? Then even worse, their shame how their grandkids are turning out. Look, if you start with the right choice, You don't have to sit down here three generations later and say, I got two kids on drugs and one's in prison, two grandkids or great-grandkids in prison. You don't have to do that. If you make the right choice, and where do you make the right choice? Surrender your choice to God. Hey, where are you going to live? That's an important choice. I had someone not too long ago, Brother Valier, we're moving to Texas. Oh, what are you doing down there? He said, well, I got a great job with the government. Government contractor? Yep. That's great. You're going to be a double dipper, huh? Yeah. Plus, you know, I get my Social Security in the next job, so I'll be a triple dipper someday. Wow, you're great. And I said, yeah, let me ask you this. I got the idea you're going to make a lot of money, but is there a good church there? It ain't, pardon me, my English, it ain't God's will for you to go someplace where there ain't no church. And if you can't find a good independent Bible preaching church, and you got somewhere that's a rock band with a crystal ball floating around and the lights all shut off and people swaying up on the play stage and breathing heavily in the microphone, that's not church, that's sensuality. Somebody say, man, am I going down the wrong way in the interstate? I know you say, watch out where you're going, Brother Valier. No, I think I'm going the right way. How much you spend on food, clothing, transportation, these are all choices. And you know, one of the another choice is, do you tithe? I can say tithing has nothing to do with money. Oh, wait a minute. How could you say that? No, tithing has everything to do with love. Don't tell me you can't afford a tithe. You don't love someone enough to tithe. Look, I found this out since we got grandkids. My wife has no guilt whatsoever how much she's going to spend on grandkids. No guilt whatsoever. Any other ladies want to confess that they're guilty of that? Yeah, we all are. It's just part of the territory. You know why you have no guilt? Because you love those grandkids unconditionally. No matter how many times you had to change a stinky diaper on that grandkid, you still love them. Hopefully they'll get through that stage. Then they get to another stage where they... My wife said, I'm tired of this. Why? 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 And then the next one, the new another word now this past week is no. Wait a minute. No is not an answer. That's a noise that I'm not going to hear, but no is not an answer. Now, you took your Mr. Potato Head out of the bag and you sprinkled all the potato head parts all over the floor. You're going to clean it up. No. That's not a choice. My mother would say, you made your bed, now lie in it. Some people don't want to lie in the bed they made because of wrong choices. Priorities and choices continue to change as you grow older. And your priorities and choices will change as circumstances change in your life. And medically things are going to change. And circumstances will change and priorities starts to change. But number one, never forget that God is in control of everything. Your character will always be with you. Now, what's the word character for our young people? Character is what God knows about you. Reputation is what your friends think about you. I'd rather have a godly character. And some people think, well, he's got a crazy reputation. He's always in church. I love that kind of reputation. It's those who are out of church one of these days are going to say, I should have did what you told me way back when. Yeah. See, make sure your character always reflects God. Ask God daily, what is your priority? I start off, one of the things for me every morning, do my PT. I do that every morning. But I got my Bible and I put this earbud in the ear and I can go run 5, 6, 7 miles and listen to that Bible being read while I'm running. Learning Scripture. Hey, that's a priority. Because this book has got loads of wisdom in it. Yeah, and if you don't know this, we hear about the dumbing down of America. It's, yeah, when they try to keep this book from our public schools, that's the dumbing down of America. Because there's more wisdom here than there is in the whole U.S. Congress. Or the Senate, or the White House. There's more wisdom here. Ask God daily, what is my priority, and can I, and help me to choose to make the right choice. This morning is important. It's important to have the right priorities. So choose first, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm going to seek God first, foremost. I'm not going to let my flesh dictate what I seek. I'm going to seek first to glorify God. And as I seek to glorify God, then what happens? You know, your flesh starts to come along and say, boy, you shouldn't do that. Yeah. You have this in the morning, you get up, and the alarm clock, you know, I'm sure it happened to me at 5 something this morning. That alarm clock came up. And I'd stayed up late last night trying to finish some paperwork late last night. And I thought, oh my, only 5 hours of sleep, boom. And my flesh said, stay in bed. Yeah, that little conversation, stay in bed. And, you know, Will says, yeah, we ought to stay in bed. And flesh says, stay in bed. Then the Spirit of God starts, says, you ought to get out of bed. We have this fuss every morning. Get out of bed or stay in bed. Now, if I listen to flesh, I'll stay in bed and I'll lose the battle. But I notice this, that when I listen to the Spirit of God, it tells me, put God first, get out of bed. So I get in the restroom, wash my face up, throw some water on my face, and I said, now I can just go down and get some prayer time. And Will says, no, you don't want to do that. You need to go back to bed. I had a little talk with Will, and Will says, no, go back to bed. No, I said, now I get down here, start praying. And after a couple of minutes of praying, Will comes up and says, can I join you in the Spirit of God? Because after you got praying for a few minutes, Will starts to say, look, I told you this is the right thing to do. But you have the discussion and you fight with yourself which way to go. Every day you want to choose first to seek the kingdom of God. Hey, write down some choices. Everyone, either you aim at nothing or you hit nothing. It's easy. So I sat down with my wife when we got married and I said, here's where we are. Some credit cards, car payments, and no money. But we got each other. And we lived in a motorhome, a 1973 Winnebago that caught on fire when we were in it one day. I was in the shower. I won't tell you the rest of the story, but in the church parking lot when it caught on fire. Wow, we made some choices. And we said, here's where we are. We made some choices. We're going to live in that little motor hall until we get all the cards paid off, till all the automobile is paid for. That motor home was, we used wedding money to buy the motor home, so you can imagine it wasn't some million-dollar motor home. It was a 1973 motor home that was already ready to fall apart. In fact, it was so bad we decided we better paint it because it didn't look too good in any church parking lot. And we made some choices that we're not going to raise our standard of living because we got married. You know what a lot of couples, first thing couples do when they get married, one of the first things they buy, I say, one of the first things they buy is a what? Car, right. Well, you got a hoop-de-doo and you got a hoop-de-doo. Let's get one car and sell those two and we have a nice car. Now you're strapped for 5 years worth of payments. We made some choices. We're going to have no more payments ever again. And we started saving up money. Create a strategy. We set some goals and a strategy and a timeline. I said, here's where we are now. Where are we going to be 5 years from now? So that's a good question. Where are you going to be 5 years from now financially? It all boils down to some choices. You can let your flesh dictate what you want. Or you can make some wise choices. I remember I was over in, we were with the Army base in Mannheim, and they set it up for soldiers to come in and talk to me. And one lady came in. I said, where's your husband? Oh, he's downrange. Okay. What's the problem? Well, my husband just got this reenlistment bonus, $18,000. He had 30 days off, and he went and bought a $60,000 pickup truck. I said, a truck? Yeah, $60,000. Yeah, it's a Harley Davidson anniversary edition. And then he put the boom box in it, the stereo and all that stuff, and jacked it up. Oh, one of those guys that got to have a truck 10 feet in the air so he can blow smoke in everyone's window, you know. I said, yeah, well, you went and bought that. Yeah, she said, I want a family and my husband wants a truck. Where's the truck now? Oh, he put it in storage. So when he only drove it about 3 weeks before he put it in storage, and he doesn't want me to drive it. And I don't want it. I want a family and I want a home. My husband wants a truck. Guess who dictated that choice? Was it the flesh or the spirit? You can listen to your flesh, and your flesh will always tell you the wrong thing. But you listen to the Spirit of God, God will always seek to glorify and magnify His name. Write down some choices. Create a strategy, a timeline. Ask God for wisdom. Seek wisdom. Number two, the importance of providing. Here's one of the things. If I listen to my flesh, I would quit tithing. My flesh says, oh, don't tithe. Don't tithe. Why? You need this money. I sat with a man just recently, and he said to me, he said, look, I got $2,000 a month more going out than I got coming in. Now, he wasn't a big spender, but he has humongous medical bills. His medical bills consumes almost 60% of his weekly take-home bill, take-home pay. And he said, I got this humongous bunch of bills. And I said, okay, what's the other problem? What do you mean? I said, are you tithing? Because if God can't trust you with money, how can God trust you with anything else? And again, it's not because you don't have enough money, because God never tells us to do something that He doesn't provide us the money to do what He's told us to do. I'm sure if I asked this question, many people would say, yes, that's me. When you started tithing, it seemed like your income went up. How many can say that? You can say that. You felt like your income went up. I'm seeing a lot of heads nodding over here. Yeah. When I started tithing, it seemed like my income went up. It's not so much that your income went up, is your want-tos got changed to ought-tos. So those used to go out every Friday night, payday, Friday night, go out to dinner. Take your wife out to dinner. We have a time for us. Isn't that nice? For us. Don't pay your credit card, but it's time for us. You can let your flesh dictate that, and when you faithfully about tithing, God will change your want-tos to your ought-tos. And when you do what you ought to do, you'll have more money left over. Yeah. I can't say when I started tithing, my income went up. But you know, God kept me from doing some dumb things too, like signing up for a timeshare. God kept me from doing that one. God kept me going out there when I wanted a new car and said that old hoop-de-doo. It was a Dodge Dart. Mister, you remember that? I'm dating myself because only us seniors remember what a Dodge Dart was. Or I have an Opel. I got an Opel Cadet. Anyone here remember what an Opel was? There's not even pastor members what an Opel is. It's a Chevette. You know what that was? Now he's pulling my leg. Oh my. You know, I wanted a newer car. Now today I'm glad I kept it. 36 years with that car. And now I can take it to car shows. People say, what is that? And you know, just like everyone here, what in the world is it? And mine's so rare, they only made 170,000 of them worldwide, and then they quit making them. And they put a diesel engine in it, and that's really rare. I'm glad that I didn't let my flesh dictate. I'm going to be faithful in the matter of tithing, and I'm going to pay off all the debt. Someone asked me not too long ago, what's the best investment right now? What's the best investment? And I thought, well, there's a couple of places in the stock market I would really be looking at. But I said, you know what the best investment? I can guarantee you at least 18% rate of return. Everyone here guaranteed 18% rate of return. So tell us, where am I going to invest it for 18? Yeah, that's simple, right? Yeah. It's working against you. So I just made a choice that nothing goes on the credit card unless I already have the money sitting aside to take care of it. And if you have a problem with that, get yourself a debit card. And by the way, if you got a debit card, you better reconcile your bank statement or you're going to have overdraft fees. And then they make your loans and charge you 18%. So it's just as bad. Make sure you're disciplined enough to reconcile your bank statement. And so I would say, pay off all debt, pay off your car, pay off your credit cards, pay down your mortgage. I did something years ago. Years ago, I did this. I figured out how to trade $20 for $6,000. I had an investment that if I put $20 in it, I would make at least $6,000 in 1 year. Some of you look at me, is it legal? And it's not the lottery ticket. When I tell you, it's this right here. It's right as close as your nose is. And you think, how'd you turn $20 into $6,000? Hey, I was doing that every month. You see, when I made my house payment, $500 a month, that was $6,000 a year. The first year, I didn't see this. It's so close. It was right there, and I never even see it. But the second year, after I looked at that amortization schedule and paid them $6,000 and only $17 went to the principal. Boy, that's a shocker when you first buy a house. At the end of the year, you made all these payments. You made them $1,000 a month, and what did you go off to the principal? $30. You gave them $12,000, and... you only got $30 off the principal. Well, I just decided, when I looked at that, it says $17. How much would go off to the principal the next year? So year number, we're working on year 30, so year 29, $20 would go off to the principal. At the end of the year, they take $20 off the principal. So I sent them an extra $20. That just saved me a whole year's worth of payments. Can you understand how to save, turn $20 bills into $6,000 bills? The next month I did it again. I sent them an extra $23, then up to $28. And every month I sent them something. At the end of the year, I saved myself several years' worth of payments. By doing that, plus one other thing I figured out, that since I live without my income tax refund all year long, so when I got that check in the mail, I didn't waste it. I threw that on the mortgage. Took us 7 years to pay the house off. Anyone here want to guess what the number one thing people do with their tax refund? That's number three. You got close. Number three, take a vacation. My dad would be one of those. Worked all year long, career military guy, but he got a couple weeks off. We'd take that tax refund, go rent a cottage, a little house, cabin or something down by the shore, and then we'd stay there for a week as a family. Vacation. Pay for Christmas bed. Yes. That would be down, it's a little bit further down the road, but yeah, pay off some credit card debt. Number two was a payment for a new car, down payment. Don't ever buy a car in the spring, because that's where people take their tax refund and they use the tax refund for the down payment on a new car. And that's why anytime you try to buy a car, even if you can get it wholesale and go at the auction prices always go up between the period of about February through May. Wholesale, if you're trying to buy a car wholesale. I've seen it every time we've tried to do that. We got a friend of ours that owns a dealership and takes us to the Honda auctions. And we're seeing every year the prices keep going up, especially during that period of year. But if I can wait to July or August, when just before the new models come out, then they drop the prices down. So people use their tax refund, number two. Number one, I couldn't believe this. When I saw this on Fox Business Channel. And it was around April 15th, somewhere around that period of time. The number one thing people do with their tax refund, alcohol consumption. The number one thing is alcohol consumption. And when they said that on that news channel, the reporter, the other reporter said the same thing you said. What? Alcohol consumption. And he said, yes, most people don't get a couple of $1,000 refund. They got a $300-$400 refund. And when they get that refund comes on Friday night, they're going to go out to eat and drink alcohol. And I want to ask for a show of hands. I'm just going to say, a lot of us, when we got that tax refund, we went out to eat, and I hope you're not drinking alcohol. But that's what a lot of people do. That's the number one thing is alcohol consumption, going out to eat and drinking alcohol. Wow. I decided to take that tax refund and whatever it was. Like 1 year we got $7,000 refund because we had our two kids and we took in seven more. You know what that means. And for this year, 2018, you got kids under 17. It's $2,000 per kid. I told that to my son. He said, I'm in the money now. I said, yeah. How about paying off some of that debt for all these kids you've had? So that's what most people do is they'll spend it and waste it. We decided let's invest it and get the house paid off. That's good, important. Number three, here we're going to run out of time here. We need to get a will done. Now, there's no reason why, if you're in the Marine or in any of the military bases, go to the JAG office. They'll do it for free. Get a will done. And if you can't get it in there, just go on to something like LegalZoom or Law Depot or any of these websites. I just Googled free family trust. I thought we want to set up a trust. And I Googled that, and I had more. It was a whole page of stuff that came up with, they'll do it for free. I found out what most of them do is they'll give you the whole document and you start filling in the blanks. And after you get everything filled in, then they charge you to print it. But at least I got it done. And it's not like, you know, a trust is $1,800 from an attorney. It was like $40 when I got through. So you can do some of those. Get a will. You know, the Hezekiah, he was said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, and he was saying many years, and God's saying tonight. And you never know when God's going to take you home. I was in a church a couple weeks ago, and there was a man, always faithful. But that Sunday afternoon, he took a ride on his motorcycle. And someone coming the opposite side of the road, young teenager, 17, someone had gotten this teenage kid so drunk that when he drove down the road, he drove right into this guy. And this guy tried to miss it. And instead of going in a ditch, he went on that side of the road and he got hit broadside with his motorcycle. Lord took him home. Yeah. Perfectly innocent in the way. Hey, you ought to have a will. You never know when your time's coming. Set up that priority. Life insurance, I think, life insurance, should you have life insurance? How much life insurance? I tell people 10 times your annual income. My wife was dependent upon my income. When we had some kids at home, we needed enough money so that my wife could stay at home and take care of the kids and not have to go back to work. I've often criticized her for not doing back to work because she was an ER nurse, so she can make more money than I ever did. And so, but she said, no, we're staying home. So we got enough life insurance that she can invest that life insurance, and that would replace the loss of the breadwinner's salary. Life insurance is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Why would someone 70 years old want to go out and buy $50,000 life insurance? So somebody get rich off your death? That's corrupt thinking. I'm not trying to get someone rich. I'm just trying to protect, buy some protection of the loss of the breadwinner's income. And you can look at a number of other things. Importance of planning, I said, number four, budgeting. Set a spending plan. People don't plan to fail, they fail to plan. So I had to set up some budgeting. Track your spending. You got to tell your money where to go and stop wondering where it went. You know, you sit there at the end of the year and you're doing your tax return and you say, we made that much? Yeah. Where did it go? I don't know. I won't for show of hands, but I've been doing this for 36 years. I hear a lot of people say this. Where did it go? Well, tell your money where to go and stop wondering where it went. Do some planning here. Track your spending. Work your spending plan, a budget. Savings, create an emergency fund. I think a lot of young couples fail to plan for the unplanned for. You mean, what do you mean the unplanned for? Like everything's working right, then all of a sudden you've got a toothache. And you don't have dental insurance. Then you go to the dentist and he says, there's two things we can do. Do a root canal or we can take it out. But it's still going to be anywhere from $300 to $1,200. You don't plan for the unplanned for. And I realize the unplanned for happens. We had last year up there in Greenville a hailstorm. I don't know if your kids got hit with that. Hail was as big as a softball. I mean, that's big. And taking a speed of gravity 167 feet per second, that's almost 160 miles an hour. That hail came down, and it was as big as a softball. It not only took the shingles off our house, it beat holes in the plywood underneath the shingles. Never mind tearing all the windows up, especially that bay window just gone and the roof gone, and it just went on and on. $46,000 of damage in 6 minutes. I'm glad we had a, I didn't know that would happen fund. Money we had set aside. I didn't know what happened. Didn't think it ever happened. Never dreamed that would ever happen. It never has happened before. But I'm glad we had something there. The insurance sure covers something, but they didn't cover everything. You still got about $8,000 or $10,000 after you pay your 20% deductible. And so providing insurance and starting a savings, I tell folks 3 to 4 months running money. At least 3 months, so that if you get laid off, you got three months of money to make it on. Set some money aside. Investing. Save more for the future. Discipline strategy. I think we ought to do some investing. You say, isn't investing gambling? I've heard that. Is investing in the stock market gambling? Let me ask you over here. If I was a farmer and I purchase $60,000 worth of seed, and I get out there in the field and I throw that seed all over the ground. Is that gambling? No, I'm planting something to reap a crop. So when it comes to investing, I'm planting something so that I can get something back. I'd rather be an owner of Bank of America than a loaner to Bank of America. I went to Bank of America this week and I talked to one of the managers and he said, we're going to give you 0.2% for a 1 year CD. 0.2%. I said, I got a better deal. When Bank of America shares were at $3 in 2007, I went out there and bought me up over 100 shares. Those 100 shares are now, what, $26, $27? See, I like that. An owner of the bank. I own part of the bank, so it went from $3 to $27. I like making $2,400 off of my $300. Anybody can do that. Just go online. You can go out there and open a Schwab account and say, I'm going to buy, I'm not going to lend Bank of America money, I'm going to own Bank of America. The owners of the bank always make more money than the lenders of the bank. And that's what many people let fear govern their investing. Fear is not an emotion you want to give any heed to. Fear gets you out and greed will get you in. I think if we just get some good financial advice and get going the right direction, up or down, whatever it is, consistently investing every month, you'll find that you'll have a whole lot more money at the end if you do some investing. And you ought to invest for savings. You ought to invest for your car. You ought to invest for a house. Run out of time here. Leave a legacy. I said set up a will. Review your beneficiaries. I ran into a couple. They've both been married before. And then he's got this life insurance. And the beneficiary on his life insurance is his wife, who's already dead. So who's going to get it? Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? I find people all the time have got some stuff that's way outdated. You got a will that gave it to so-and-so, and you're not even married to that person anymore. Review some of those things. Review who some of your beneficiaries are. I've had people say, well, I gave it all to my kids, but my kids are minors. Now my kids are grown up. But you know what? You still got to go into this person over here to take care of it for your kids. Get some of those things updated. Review that. And talking about reviewing some things, how about reviewing some of your passwords? Never would have said this 20 years ago, but I'm going to say it now. If you're not changing that password about every 90 days, somebody's going to find a way to get into it. Last year, we got hit 3 times, robbed our bank account. Oh, yeah. Hey, we don't even bring stuff to the mail anymore. When you put the flag up on the mailbox, what does that say? Hey, there's a check in the mailbox, especially if there's a blue envelope for a phone company or a yellow envelope for the gas company. And you do those every month and you put the flag up. Now thieves come by, they see the flag up, and they grab the mail out there. Now you got your route number and account number, and they're going home on their computer making their own checks up and spending your money. And if you don't balance your checkbook, you won't even know they're spending your money. So I'd say review those passwords and reconcile that bank statement, because somebody could be doing this. Now the rest of the story was this dumb guy who went in there and got a hold of our bank account. He went to Walmart and bought an $850 television, one of those 70-inch deals. And he gave him this check that he had made up using our account and route number, and sure, it was approved, $800. It went right through. And then the lady said, I also need some ID, so he gave him his driver's license, and he took off. 3 months later, my wife said, our checks are bouncing. We don't have enough money in the account. What's going on here? So I said, you got to go down to the bank and see what's going on. And they went to the bank, and the bank started reviewing these checks. And they found this check for $850 for Walmart. My wife and the banker said, you didn't write this down, Mrs. Val. You didn't write it down in your check, but the $850 for Walmart. She said, I don't buy anything at Walmart that costs that much. And the guy shows the check. Didn't you buy a TV at Walmart? And she said, no, that's not even my handwriting. They looked there and saw that driver's license. That wasn't my wife's driver's license either. And they called the police, went and picked the guy up. Talk about dumb criminals. Here, I'm out of time. Paul Harvey told the story about a guy who went and robbed the bank. You talk about dumb. He went into the bank, got an overcoat on, and he's got a gun on his belt right here. And he's got the note with the other hand, and he's got a bag. So he has a bag in the pocket. He pulls the bag out of here and hands the teller the note and then pulls the gun out. But when he pulled the gun out, his pants unsnapped. So when he tried to run out, he tripped over his pants falling down. dumb criminals. Letter F, stay healthy. You know what real wealth is? Real wealth is not having money. Real wealth is when you got your health. That's real wealth. And a lot of people are trying to make more money, but what good is it more money when you taking all your money you're making to pay your get your health back. You know, when you're young, you spend your health to try to get your wealth. When you're old, you spend your money trying to get back your health. And so real wealth, exercise daily. No pain, no gain. That's it. Involve your spouse and your children, your grandchildren. I tried to involve my kids in money-making decisions. I did something for my son. I said, son, if you will read a book and it has at least 100 pages in it, no pictures, not the cover page. And I said, 100 pages, I'll give you $5. In 1 year, my son read over 3,000 pages. Wow. That was pretty good for a 12-year-old making $150. I did something for my daughter this past year, and they're on their way to Malta. They came back from Malta Thursday, so they're going back over there as missionaries. And I said to them, because they don't have a whole lot, and their missionary salary is not very high, I said, if you'll take that refund check, you take your refund and invest it in an IRA, I will match it. So the first year she got $300, I gave her $300, and we put it in an IRA. That gave her a bigger refund. The next year, it got up to $800 refund. Now, here's year number three, where it's $2,000 per kid, and you earn income credit, I'm in trouble. You see, I taught my kids to do something long-term. Deny yourself and lay up your treasures in heaven. Priorities, right priorities. Number one, I think today in conclusion, be found faithful. Moreover, it is required of a man to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Please God in everything. Do everything decently and in order. The Bible says in Luke 14:20, for which you intended to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost. Count the cost. If any man provide not for his own, especially his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let's see if we can get some priorities straightened out. You're going to make some choices, even today, that could affect the rest of your life. And you're the one that's going to even account for your choices. Do all the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for helping us today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord, for those who have faithfully listened. I pray, Lord, for someone here who may be going through some difficult times. Father, there might be someone here today who's had a little heated discussion in their own home. Maybe there's someone here who's just hurting and can't pay all the doctor bills. Lord, give them great faith to trust in you. Help them put the right priorities in their life that you might be magnified and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.